Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
Now, another subject that has caught the media by storm, social media that is Kane Explain, a new video from RNIB that hopes to highlight how blind and partially sighted people use their white cane, and also to explain the different kinds of canes that are in use out there. Coming up, we're going to hear from Malcolm Johnson, who uses his cane on and off, and this is something else that the video aims to help people understand.
Yeah, I feel much better when I bump into something and I've got this, and people can kind of go, okay, it's because you can't see.
I use a symbol cane. I mainly use it to show people that I have a visual impairment.
The red and white cane basically indicate that I am deafblind, but then not a lot of people know what it actually means. That includes my mother, my husband, and my little sister.
Hi, good evening.
Do you know that?
I was amazed.
Oh. I use a long cane. It rolls so that I can avoid obstacles in the street, and I usually use it on long distance runs.
I use my guide cane mainly so that I don't suddenly fall down a step that I didn't realise was there, but also to warn other people that I'm visually impaired so they don't cut me off when I'm trying to work my way around a shop or through a train station.
I use a long cane with a pink handle because it expresses part of my personality.
I have a symbol cane and I've only really just started using this for the last week. I felt like I was having too many problems, and it just makes people aware that I do have a sight problem, basically.
You get a lot of mixed responses when you walk around the street with a cane. A lot of people do tend to try to stop and help. I've had a few occasions where I've been dragged across the road without being asked if it's okay or if I need any help or assistance.
Sometimes I feel strange when I'm on the tube with a book and my symbol cane, because people look at it in a weird way. But actually, I have enough sight to focus in on the book. It's just that when I get up and go for the door, that's when I need my cane.
It's like my comfort blanket wherever I go.
I think I'd like everybody to think that canes are awesome. Why shouldn't canes express part of your personality? Why shouldn't canes be fashionable?
It's just like another set of eyes.
There are over 100,000 cane users in the UK.
We don't all use the cane for the same reason. We don't all have the same eye condition.
It doesn't mean that everybody's blind. There's a spectrum of sight loss.
What we all have in common is that the cane enables us to be more independent.
Share our film. Hashtag how I see. RNIB, supporting people with sight loss.
So that is Kane Explain, the movie that has just come out from RNIB, and trying to make people understand what the white cane is, what it means to use it. Malcolm Johnson's on the line with me. Malcolm, what's your reaction to that? Does that relate to you and your experiences of using the white cane?
It does, yeah, absolutely. In fact, it could have been me in one of the portions of the film, the chap who was talking about using the cane and then putting it away and getting the book out.
Yeah.
It's actually something that I've used as an example to friends and family when they ask me about my cane. Because you do sort of, you may feel as if people think you're being a bit of a fraud because they look at you and they think, well, hold on, you can see, you're reading. So it's kind of a weird one. When you know that you need it, there's sometimes a bit of a question within oneself as to whether I should use it in case other people are thinking the wrong things.
Yes, that's that quote, isn't it? There's a stereotype that if you have a cane, then you're fully blind. I feel I have to act a certain way.
Indeed, yeah. And also you do feel as though people's eyes are on you, typically, as the eyes, of course. But I certainly posted it on my Facebook page, and a couple of friends were very positive about the information it was giving, because I think there is a sense out there that people just don't have a clue as to what the canes are for. The assumption is that if someone is using a white cane, they are totally blind. And I think the figures are quite low in terms of the percentage of people that are totally blind against those that are visually impaired. So on average, one would assume that most people using the cane probably have some vision.
Do you ever feel that you are prepared or are preparing yourself for an onslaught of criticism when you're using your cane? And as you say, you put the cane down and lift the book up.
I think, yeah, I probably would. I mean, there's certainly occasions when I would think twice about getting it out simply because people, I kind of make their minds up for them.
Mm.
In that I assume that they're going to be thinking negatively or, you know, mistrustingly. because of that.
And that's it.
Which is crazy.
And it's in a way, it's kind of in our heads, although it's not, because actually we know, because we've lived this life, that, you know, there are people out there who firmly believe that, you know, if you have a guide dog, the dog can read the bus numbers and stop for you and, you know, all this stuff. And it always seems amazing to me, you know, in that example, that people think the guide dog is smarter than the human attached to it. And you know, it basically says, you know, when it comes to the white cane as well, that, you know, we are lesser in society. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel when I'm out with the cane, I do feel like I'm a second-class citizen, because that's how I'm treated by other people.
Yeah, certainly. Sometimes, I have to be fair, though, I think on the whole, I get reasonable responses from people. But on the other side of that, you do get people who do take no notice at all, or to the point where it sometimes feels as though they're deliberately targeting you. From my experience, I don't need it all the time, far from it, but there are certain situations when I really do need it. And I think, I mean, I've certainly noticed, whether it's because I now have a vested interest or not, I don't know, but I've certainly noticed the information being pushed forward a lot more, and the knowledge is given to people with just in general with eye health. I think with huge companies using it as a selling point for their eye test, you know, that sort of thing. But I think it's on the whole, I think it's still relatively unknown as to why people use canes and why people use different sorts of canes. And people, on the whole, I think people just sort of don't know how to deal with things that they don't know about. So when you see somebody that needs assistance, there's two types of people. There's those that will run away and avoid them, and there's those that will help. And I've certainly noticed that most people do run away, but some people will offer assistance, and maybe they just don't know how much assistance you need or what type of assistance.
What would you say to someone who might ask you that question? I know I've been asked it a few times. I wear glasses, and I've been asked why I wear glasses if I can't see. And then I get accused of making the whole thing up, and that has happened as well, which, I, you know, it's incredible. I mean, you tell people these stories, they almost don't believe you because they seem so fantastical. But actually, you know, this happens. And I wonder if that kind of thing has happened to you, in the sense that, you know, people have, you know, almost, you know, as you say, you know, your example of picking up the book, my case with the glasses, do people sort of question you on it? Do people corner you on it?
Yes, definitely. I think the easiest way that I've been able to describe it was actually with the help of one of the other videos or films that the RNIB did a little while ago, about, or it may have been an article I read in the paper, by a woman who points out that she is a bit blind, as opposed to being, you know, fully blind or fully sighted. And that, to me, is a great way of describing it. Mm. You know, I'm a bit blind in certain circumstances, in low light, in this, that, and the other. And once you explain it to people, assuming that they're happy to listen and interested, then I think, certainly on the whole, people get it. But you do still, you know, you can hear the comments made between groups when you're walking past. And then, like you say, you kind of, all of a sudden, you can, assumedly to them, you can see again. Just, it's not that at all. It's, for me, it's when I'm in a certain circumstance, it's a mixture of me needing the cane and also letting people know that I have a bit of a disability. But you do certainly hear comments made or derogatory sort of slander being thrown at you on occasion, but I have to be fair, it's fairly rare for me. But then I don't use the cane very often. In terms of, if I'm going into a busy situation, if I'm going to a train station or on the tube or something, then I'll need it. But if I'm just going to the shops, I'm kind of okay. Which makes it even, I think for me, it makes it a bit more difficult in a way, because it's not something I use all the time. So when I get it out to use it, I'm almost more conscious. Because it's not an everyday occurrence.
Sometimes, in my experience, I've noticed that I tend to use it more because I feel if I don't use it, questions will be asked. Because I've had that experience as well. A bus driver once said to me, you know, you didn't use your cane yesterday, you're clearly not blind. To which I said, I'm not blind.
That's, no,
first
exactly.
of all, I'm not blind. You're right, you got me. But, you know, it's trying to explain to people what that is and this constant explanation. Do you think that this kind of thing, this video that RNIB has made, do you think it helps? Do you think it's good to talk about it?
Yes, 100%. Because if people aren't given the information, then you have to a degree, forgive them for their ignorance. Certainly in the modern age with social media and that kind of thing, whenever anything like that comes out, I have a standalone Facebook page and I post stuff on there, and some of the feedback you get is fantastic in terms of, I didn't know anything about this, or, but that's really informative. I'm telling my children about that now. So the word is sort of organically spread. Mm. And I think it has to be. You're sort of combating ignorance. But it's ignorance just for the way we live our lives these days. People only know about what they really need to know about. So if they don't know anyone personally that's got a visual impairment, then they don't know how it works. I mean, I've come across my GP whose wife is an ophthalmologist, never heard of the condition I've got or knew what it did. So when you're faced with people in that sort of a profession not knowing about it, then you kind of have to sort of forgive the general public.
A lot of charities make these kind of movies or films or YouTube videos or whatever. You know, they make all this stuff and it's great. You know, and it obviously promotes the work that they do, the subject they're trying to raise awareness of. Do you think RNIB's got it right with this one?
Yeah, I do, because it's not about the RNIB at all. It's about the people they're representing. I think sometimes with charities and these, like you say, these sort of films, or sound bites or what have you, they're promoting an organisation as opposed to the people they're there to help. So in the videos that the RNIB and similar organisations are making now, they're showing normal folk going about their normal day-to-day stuff and showing you the challenges that they see every day, they face every day, which I think the reason that helps is because the tasks they're doing are just day-to-day stuff, getting to work, going to on the bus, going on the tube. Everybody does that. So everybody can relate to what they're doing, and maybe it puts in their minds, well, I know what it's like to go down there. It's hard enough at the best of times. Well, if I can't see properly, then that's going to be even more difficult. Now I know what to look out for, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's changing the way they're doing it, and I think it's changing for the right reasons and for the good of the people they're representing.
What's the message you give to someone who's listening to this and, you know, is in the position where they've perhaps been, you know, as you say, approached or asked questions or, you know, verbally attacked or however you want to put it? How do you get over that? How do you deal with that?
It depends on the person. I mean, if you're being attacked, I would suggest running away, but when you can't see very well, you don't get very far before you fall over. You've got to face them and give them the information. Whether they're willing to take it on board is out of your control. But if I see it as my responsibility, if someone questions me and they're willing to listen and I feel comfortable, then I'll just tell them quite happily that, you know, this is the situation and this is what I'm dealing with. So I don't know, maybe I'm thinking too well of the majority of people that would insult with someone that's clearly got visual impairments. But
it's not always insults, is it? It's not even insults. It's just the experience, the questions, the comments that get raised. Sometimes, naively, they're not intended as insults. We maybe take them that way, but, you know, that happened. But I'm thinking more about this sort of longer term. How do you cope with it on a day-to-day basis? Because it can be quite wearing.
It can. And I think it's not always easy, but everyone would cope with it differently. For me, I kind of just, ultimately, I mean, there are times when you just go home and you just want to sit in a darkened corner, but ultimately most of the time I'll kind of just say, well, it's not your ignorance or your naivety and the comments that you've made are not going to stop me from living the best life I can and doing what I want to do. You know, everybody gets knocks. It's kind of how you come back from them. And I think when you're facing something like a visual impairment, or no sight at all. If you're strong enough to go out there to get these knocks, you're strong enough to get through it. You just need to maybe, I don't know, reach out to people in a similar situation and sort of get some advice, get some pointers, you know, see how everyone else is doing it, because we're just doing it our own sort of way, I guess.
Malcolm Johnson, great to talk to you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
The Weekly Connect. The Weekly Connect. On RNIB Connect Radio.